Okay. My name is Paul Revlin. I'm the president of RevGear. I wanted to get my shameless commercial out of the way early, but basically people pay us to consult with them on how to take their merchandise operations from selling $1,000 a month in product to $6,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month in product. So we spend a lot of time with school owners every day talking about how to improve their merchandising efforts. In our industry, it seems to be called pro shop, and people talk about the pro shop or just talk about pro shop as if it is really the same thing as merchandise sales, product sales. So often you'll hear that word. I look at the pro shop as something different exactly, something more specifically like an actual pro shop, but I find that, most people just call it pro shop and when they talk about their merchandise sales. So what I wanted to cover first, though, was why we actually sell equipment and merchandise. I know that when we go through school, college, high school, what have you, we don't really get a formal education in how to sell merchandise. And I noticed that whether it's at seminars, conferences, trade shows, we're continually told that we should be selling merchandise because it's another form of revenue, another profit center for us. And I also find that a lot of people put it on the last thing to do on their to-do list, or it takes enough work every day to sign up new students, get your classes staffed properly, keep the school clean, and do all the things you have to do. So most people think, well, I'll get to merchandise when I get better at doing all these other things or when I feel comfortable or have the time. Most people say when I have the time or when I have the money. And I think that that defeats somewhat what the purpose of selling merchandise is. And I know that people will say, well, the purpose of selling merchandise is to make money. That is, of course, our goal in our business. It's one of the main reasons we do something besides our passion and whatnot. But to make money on equipment or merchandise is not the main reason that people should be dealing in this. The main reason that people should be dealing in merchandise is because it's the simple fact that the more product that people buy, the longer they will train or the longer they will stay your student. And when you add up, if selling more merchandise to your students could yield or result in an extra month or an extra 2 months in the life of a student who signs up with you and trains with you, when you add that up over how many students you sign up in a month or in a year, that additional revenue gets pretty substantial. So I really want you to look at merchandise as a retention tool because it is. Take a moment and think about an activity that or a hobby of yours that you may do that's outside of the martial arts, whether it's golf, hiking, skiing, whatever it may be. And I'm sure if you think about it, you'll realize that as long as you're excited in the activity, you continue to buy merchandise or you continue to buy things that support that activity or support your passion for that. And I also think that if you take an example of a golf clubs, most people are excited about golf clubs, and when they go ahead and buy their golf clubs, they are anxious to use them. They're going to keep going to lessons or they're going to keep playing. And when they decide that they're over it, they end up putting the golf clubs in the closet or the garage and they probably never make it out again. And then they just sit there and make you feel guilty that you spent the money on them and you never use them. And that's part of another reason why we actually sell merchandise is because once people go home with the equipment packages that we're going to provide for them, you know, those days that they don't train or those, a couple weeks or a month goes by that they didn't train, that product is still sitting in their closet or their garage or wherever they put it, making them feel guilty that they didn't continue training. Also, I think that you'll find that students who are more excited about being a student and people who are certainly more passionate out of all your student base, you'll find that they buy more product over time. And you'll also find that the amount of product they buy will taper off as they become less passionate about the activity. So you'll find that it could be a good bellwether. I mean, you probably can't measure how much everyone's buying, but everyone knows they're good customers at their school. You know, every time you launch a new T-shirt or every time you have a new product, those people are the first to buy it. The other people on the fringe, when they stop buying things, you can use it as a bellwether to determine, okay, where does this student, do they need to be energized about what we're doing in our programs and whatnot. So I want to emphasize that it's a retention tool, and that's why we should be selling merchandise. We're going to make money. I'm going to teach you how to make money while you're selling merchandise, but basically the main reason is to keep your students longer. So that's number one. Number two is, why do people actually buy from you? And often, depending on what you're selling, you may not feel like you're competing with the mall or stores in the mall or other retail areas. But the truth of the matter is, and I think we're seeing now with the way things are in the economy, and certainly some cities are getting hit harder than others, but basically our customers have X amount of disposable income. And sometimes they, you know, and at the end of the day, whether they buy a garment at the store, at the mall, or whether they buy a T-shirt from you, basically it's the same money. They have X amount of money to spend. So even though the item is not identical, there's only so much dollars to go around, and you want to make sure that the dollars they're spending are going to you. After all, you have put all the money into promotion, running the business, everything that goes into it, and you need to make sure that you're capitalizing on everything you can, or making every dollar that you can out of your existing promotions. Okay, so why would people actually buy from you? And I think it's from many of the school owners that I've seen around the country, is that they are not disseminating the information clear enough that they are the expert in the activity that they're teaching. And so it's really important that early on, when you sign up a student, that you convey to them that you've been doing this martial art for X amount of years, and you've studied it very thoroughly, and it may be multiple martial arts, whatever, but you explain to them that your background and how you determine what products it is that you use in your school. Basically, I like to encourage people to do it in the very first tour of the students of the new school, or the new student, when they're getting the tour of the facility. I show them the products on the display or wherever I'm going to show them of some of the products that are available and some of the products that are going to be used when they reach higher levels in their training. That's basically showing them what they have to look forward to in the future. But I also tell them at that point, I tell them, if there's something that you liked for your training that you don't see here in our pro shop or don't see here for sale at our school, please let me know, because we've spent a lot of time determining what products should be used in our curriculum, and I want to make sure that it's approved for what we're doing. And then if so, and I don't have it, then I'm going to be happy to go get it for you. So we're basically telling people, you can't go get products somewhere else, because we teach a certain way here, and we've determined exactly what products it is that you need to train here, and therefore you shouldn't be bringing in other products. And if you do want something else, and I think it's going to be okay, well, then you need my approval, and once I give you approval, I'll go get it for you, so that you can make sure that people don't go shopping on the Internet or other places or because a friend told them. I've seen it a lot lately where a mom in the gallery finds some product that you may be selling and finds it at some price a little bit lower than yours, and then the mom or dad tells the other parents in the gallery, and before you know it, you have a problem because all these people are bringing in stuff that they're buying from other places and they're not buying from you. That's it's important that we establish very early that the product should be purchased from you because you've determined what they need. And if they are going to tell you it's the exact same thing, that may be the case, but I'm going to tell you that we should work on building the products into the program so that it's already built in and they never have to worry about it. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. The next thing the summary of this long point, which shouldn't be so long, is that you are the expert. You need to convey to your students that you're the expert, and therefore they shouldn't be buying anything, bringing anything, training with anything unless they get your approval, because you're the only one who knows the curriculum all the way through, and you're the one who can tell them what it is they need. Okay, so start building that into your procedures. The next thing I want to talk about is goal setting. Many people head out to try to sell merchandise without setting any goals, and it can get very overwhelming. It's easy to get caught up in a lot of different things. And so without doing any goal setting, you don't really know where you're going, right? You've heard a lot of people probably talk to you about in terms of goal setting and signing up new students and other things that relate to your business, and this is no different. It's important that you set a merchandise goal and then determine how you're going to reach it. And some of the best schools I see in the country in terms of merchandise, they all do this. They measure what is the amount of product I'm selling per active student. And the reason I say active student is I define active as currently showing up for classes. We all have people who pay but don't show up. And if they don't show up, then aside from my website, I really can't be selling anything to them. So I'm not really using them to measure. But I do like to keep account of how many active students I have, how many people are showing up in training, and then I want to know how much merchandise am I selling. So if I'm selling $1,000 a month in merchandise and I have 100 active students, well, then that comes to $10 per active student. And at that point, I may determine that I want to increase my goal from $10 a month to $15 a month per active student. Okay? And I like to bite off little chunks and then go after that, those little numbers, and ultimately we'll reach a much bigger number little by little. And there's lots of easy ways to do that. You may find that if you run a certain T-shirt promotion for an event or for something, or via a seminar, you may build some products into a seminar. There's lots of ways that you can get marginal increases in product sales without doing a lot of work, but you just stay focused on moving that item or that promotion without trying to do too many things at the same time, because it can be very overwhelming. So there's three ways, I see three main ways that we generally can move product through a martial arts school. The first one being is building the product into our program. And there's two ways to do this, which I'll cover a little bit more in a minute, but in general you can do it by curriculum or you can do it by program. And I will, like I said, I'll define that more in a minute. Second thing that I want to say is that another method is to move product through seminars. And I can cover that more thoroughly also. And then the last one is the pro shop itself. It's very important to me when I talk to school owners that you build products into the programs and your seminars first. You get really good at that. And then and only then, once we're moving merchandise those ways, do I recommend opening a pro shop. In many ways, a lot of people we talk to, I can double the amount of product they sell at their martial arts school simply by building products into the program, and you don't have to have a pro shop at all. I recommend the pro shop for people who have been doing this a while, feel comfortable with the systems they have, and then are ready to say, okay, I'm going to devote some resources to putting in a pro shop. Putting in a pro shop itself requires having some product, knowing how to display it, actually, you know, having someone who can help you figure out a good way to display it, and some of those other things. So it's a challenge, but I recommend we do these other things first. So let's back up a second and talk about building products into the program, because this is probably the most important thing that we can do. And if you take anything away from this phone call today, I hope that we can give you some information about how to do that. So, and if at any time, by the way, that you have questions about this, aside from this phone call, you're welcome to call here. Let me just give you my information real quickly. But my email address is paulr@revgear.com. Once again, it's paulr@revgear.com. Or you can also email us through a website we have for merchandising, which is www.proshopmentor.com. That's proshopmentor.com. Okay, so I'll review that later for you. But if any time you guys have questions about this, because this is a little bit harder than I'm making it sound to do, just to sit down and do it in 5 minutes. But basically, what we need to do is we need to figure out, take a good look at our curriculum, and then we need to figure out what products do we want to build in at certain areas. And when I say build in, I'm talking about I want to make sure that the products are automatically sold. I don't want to have to sell the student again. I don't want to have to work too hard at selling the merchandise. I want to know that, and I don't want to worry about when they reach a certain belt level or a certain area of our curriculum that they do or don't have the products they need to have to do the training. And I don't really want to worry about those things. And I want to make sure that I've made the money on the students, on the product sales in the process, because if I do this properly, then I don't have to worry about people buying the stuff on the Internet. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. there's two ways to do it. One is by curriculum, as I mentioned, and that's where I take products and I build them in at certain belt level. You know, when you start up, you have a startup package. When you take your yellow belt test, then there's a package for yellow belt. When you get to green belt, there's an equipment package at green belt. And I'll talk about that more in a second. Or the other way to do it is by program. So sometimes I have packages just for my cardio kickboxing program, or I have a fight package for a fight program I'm running, or I have a self-defense program for an adult, a package for an adult self-defense program I'm running. And you may do a combination of all these things. So basically, if you're running for your kids and some of your adults a traditional martial arts program, you probably will build products in via yellow belt, orange belt, or green belt, or you can use black belt, master's club, leadership club programs. Or you can, and do that also in concert with, well, I have some people who just show up for cardio kickboxing. Well, if that's the case, then I have a separate package just for them. And the way I build the packages in, for example, would be, a simple example would be, if someone's going to sign up and they're going to pay $100 down and then sign up for $100 a month for, let's say, a 12-month contract. The way everyone is priced is different, so this is where it gets tricky. But for the most part, I would do something like I'd create a $50 package. And when I say $50, I mean $50 in my cost if I was the school owner. And then I would mark that up from $50 to $99. And instead of just charging $100 at setup, I would charge $199 down and then still charge the same $100 a month. And I would tell the student that, or the person who's signing up, that all the equipment they need to start up is included in the price. It's free. So I would then go from charging $100 down to $199 down, and then I would still charge the $100 a month. I know that I built my $50 in profit on my starter package into the down payment. And basically, by building more products into the program, it will enable you to charge more for your product or service. You know, Master Clark taught me this a long time ago in Florida. He always mentions with seminars, specifically, the more products I build into the seminar, the more value that the student will add to the seminar, and then they're more willing to pay a higher price. So if you can tell them that instead of paying $100 down, but they're going to pay $199 down, and they're going to get X, Y, Z, A, B, and C included in there, then you can command a higher price. So what I like to do is I like to take certain packages and I like to build them in at certain levels. So another example would be once they get to yellow belt level, it's common that people say, well, I want them to start sparring at yellow belt level. So there's a couple things I do. I have a package that has a set of sparring gear and a duffel bag. So it may have punches, kicks, shin guards or headgear, a mouthpiece, and a cup, and a duffel bag because that's pretty common. From what I find, and they want their students to have that at yellow belt. So if there's two ways to do this. If you charge belt testing fees, well, then you just take the cost of your package and your profit, your markup, you add that into your belt testing fees, and then they get the whole package once they pass their test. You just give it to them. Another way to do it is to give them a gift certificate at yellow belt level. So when they get their yellow belt certificate and they get their yellow belt, you give them a gift certificate, and it says, these are the products that you need. Your gift certificate basically says, these are the products you need to train at yellow belt level. We're excited that you passed, and we're looking forward to have you join these yellow belt classes. In order to train here, you need to have this product. If you buy the product within 10 days of passing your belt test, you get 10% off or 15% off or something. You give them some incentive to buy that product for passing the test, and you give them an incentive to buy it shortly after the test. You generally want to give them a week or 10 days or something. You don't want it to go too long or too far because you always need to have a sense of urgency. And I can talk about that a little bit more, but sense of urgency is very important in terms of selling merchandise. If people think they can buy any product anytime, then they'll never buy it. But you'd be surprised that if you told them this is the deadline and then this is your chance to get it, you'd be surprised you'd probably get 10, 20, or 30% more in sales just because you gave it a deadline and people want to act before the deadline. Okay, so I want you to work on, there's lots of ways you can do this. You can build it by black belt club, leadership club, starter package. You could do it by belt level, or you can do it by program, or you can do all of the above. Now, the way you go about doing that is it's going to take a couple hours of your time, but frankly, a couple hours of your time invested here will have big benefits, will pay big benefits on the back end. So basically, the way you do this is you just want to map out your entire curriculum. Most of you already have this done. So you just take your curriculum, and then I would have you map out exactly what products you would want them to have at what level all the way through their curriculum from the day they sign up as a white belt to the day they end at black belt or the day they become an instructor in training or whatever it is that is the highest level for you, and you figure out what products it is that you want them to have all the way through, okay? So I take that list, and I would call that list A, okay? And that's I would divide a piece of paper right down the center and put an A and a B, and on list A, I just literally list it all the way down from start to finish what I want them to have, okay? Then I would take column B, I would create this list. This is everything that I want to sell them, okay? So if I know that they need sparring gear to train, they must have it to spar, they must have it to complete the curriculum, it goes in list A. If there's something I'd like to sell them, but it's not really required to do the training, they can do the training without it, then I would put it in column B. And so I make that whole list of all the things that I would like to sell. Now, it's the list at column B that can be really overwhelming and confusing because there's everything from shoes to hats to, who knows what. All kinds of toys, gizmos, gadgets, and items for them to wear. There's an infinite amount of things that you can sell to your students, but I want you to pick pick like 10 items that you think are really important. Things that I think are important are things like T-shirts, sweatshirts, sometimes sweatsuits, workout suits. The reason those things are important is because when people are wearing that, they're obviously out advertising for your gym, and sometimes a walking, talking billboard in a T-shirt will sell you more future memberships or will sell you more future students than an ad in the Yellow Pages. So I think that it's important that you're always selling items that people want to be wearing outside the gym. Now, the stuff that in column A is the stuff that I want, I'm not so worried about it having my logo as I am that I build it into the program properly. So basically, I take list A, and then I package it, and I look at things that can go that can package well together. And then I find ways to build them in at certain levels. So if I think that I have a good starter package, which might be a uniform, a DVD, and a duffel bag, then that's my starter package. And then my yellow belt package is going to be maybe maybe my sparring gear set, my mouthpiece, the cup, and the sparring gear, and maybe a bigger duffel bag. Some people do this where they actually have a sparring gear package, a yellow belt, which is very basic, and then by green belt, they may be doing more advanced techniques, maybe punching and kicking harder, and maybe doing MMA stuff or other things. So at that level, they would build another package in that has like a high-end level pair of boxing gloves and some heavier shin guards and things for more contact. And they'll build that in a green belt or blue belt level. Some people do it all via their starter package, and then they have a black belt package, and then they have a leadership package. And they just use those packages to when they're upgrading people throughout their curriculum. And some people just say, well, this is the stuff you need, and I have two packages. So they have a basic package and an advanced package. You'll probably see this at schools like Steve LaValle and other places where that when you sign up for a certain level, when you get the yellow belt, you're going to need to spar, and they just have two packages. They have a basic package, and they have a higher-end, higher-quality package. And they basically just try to sell everyone the higher-quality package because they know that people are going to motor through the equipment, and they want to put them in higher-end, higher-quality stuff so it's a better value for their students. But they'll let the students buy a cheaper package if they want to. So there's a lot of different ways to do that, and basically that's the area where we can be particularly helpful here at our office. So feel free and don't be shy to ask questions about that or give us a call. Okay, let's talk about seminars for a second. When you run a seminar, most people get to us here in our office. We get to us too late. They tell us they got a seminar coming up. The seminar's this week. I forgot to order commas, or I forgot to order the weapon that I needed for the seminar, and basically it's too late. Well, they still have it, and we get it to them, but the point being is I want the weapon built into the cost of the seminar. I want, if the weapon costs $20, then I want to mark it up to $40. I want, if I want $40 or $50 or $100 for my seminar, whatever it is, I want to take the price of the product plus the profit and add that to the cost of the seminar and build it in. And since a lot of people now these days I see are doing rotating curriculum, they'll run an 8-week session on comma, for example, and basically they will build a basic comma into the curriculum, into some package they have somewhere. And at the end of the session, at the end of 8 weeks, they will run an advanced comma seminar in which anybody can come, where they're going to get to do things that are different than everything that happened in the 8 weeks. So now there's some incentive to come, and I would build an advanced, a cool-looking advanced comma into the price of the seminar, so that, in effect, I've sold two sets to the client over the 8 weeks. But then when people start training with that advanced comma the next day or other days in class because they got it at the seminar and some student who wasn't at the seminar saw them using that, said, hey, that's cool, where'd you get that? Then they said, I got it at the advanced comma seminar. So they're basically selling the next seminar for you to encourage other people in the class to take the seminar next time, because the advanced seminar may be optional. But the idea of the advanced seminar is that it does things, you know, you get to see things that you don't normally get to see in your normal curriculum, and so it gives people an extra incentive to go. I think that most of the time, in general, whether you bring in some, here's another opportunity for a seminar, you bring in an expert in, I don't know, let's just use MMA because it's appropriate these days. But if you bring in someone to teach an MMA seminar and you're charging $100 for the weekend or whatever it's going to be, just buy a cool pair of gloves and mark it up and build that into the seminar. Or, more importantly, people do it with T-shirts all the time. They have a special limited edition T-shirt, and then you can buy the T-shirt for whatever you're going to pay for it and mark it up to $20. And then you just build that into the seminar price, and everyone gets a free T-shirt. You don't have to worry that way about, will I sell the T-shirts when the people come here and take the seminar? You don't have to worry about it. Everybody gets a T-shirt for free. It looks like it's for free, but you've already sold it, and you've already built it into the price. And the only thing I suggest about that is be really careful with putting dates on T-shirts, because it's very difficult to know exactly how many shirts or how many people you're going to sign up for a seminar. So don't put a date on the T-shirt, because you may need to sell the T-shirt afterwards. You may have some leftovers. You may need to sell them with your pro shop or even to your existing students, and you don't want it to have a date on it. If it's dated, then it's dated, and it's too difficult to sell afterwards. But you'll also find that you will sell, if the seminar T-shirt is cool looking, you'll sell it after the seminar, whether people were there or not. Okay, so in the third method of moving product is obviously the pro shop itself. When it comes to setting up the pro shop, clearly we don't have classes in merchandising. We don't have people who formally tell us this is how you set up a display. But you can do some things that are very basic. You can walk into the Gap and you can look at how they have things displayed, and you can apply some very similar concepts. They always take an outfit, a T-shirt and a pant, and they put it up, and then they have the pants or T-shirts folded up right next to the mannequin so that people can easily grab 2, 3, 4 pairs when they see how cool the mannequin looks and say, wow, I want to look like that mannequin. And you'll also notice that the display is the very first thing you walk into the store. You cannot walk into the store without walking around some kind of display, and that's because and you can't miss the item that's on the display as a result. So there's a lot of basics when it comes to setting up the pro shop. Make sure it's someplace very visible. Make sure it's near the front door or the back door if that's the way people are coming in and out of the school. Make sure it's always the first and last thing people see, because they're going to need to see an item 6 times before they decide to buy it. So sometimes as a result, I tell them, use all the walls, the floor space, and use other areas of your school to market the same item, because you need to get 6 repetitions on a T-shirt before they choose to buy. So if you have your T-shirt on display right in your pro shop, well, then put it on a mannequin and put it up near the dressing rooms, or put it up near the bathrooms, or hang it in the bathrooms. Sometimes I tell people, use the space above the mirrors in their school so that people can see the item while they're training. They need to see it multiple times. And then there's always got to be a sense of urgency. So where this is the new T-shirts on display. If you don't buy it by this day or whatever stock we have, it's going fast and then it's gone. And if people want the T-shirt but it's sold out, well, then you can obviously tell them, okay, well, we have another T-shirt that's coming that's going to be even cooler, so if you want to pre-order that now, I'll gladly take your pre-order. But basically, the other thing I always say when it comes to your pro shop is always under-buy. Always under-buy. Always buy less than you think you'll sell. If it's just so overwhelming and you could have sold another 30 or 40 units, great. You can always have those made. But if you under-buy by 10, 20, or 5 units, then you have... you're starting to create a sense of urgency that if people don't act now, they miss the opportunity, and you can always pre-sell them the next thing that's coming down the pipe. Okay? Obviously, the display, it needs to be rotated. It needs to be changed. And always find somebody in your school or your staff or someone who can help you with the display. If you're male, don't take this the wrong way, but find a female. If you're female, you're probably in good shape. I'm a male, and I have a hard time setting up displays right, but there's always a female in my office who can whip it up into shape and make it look really good. Don't be shy about asking for people to help you, and just make sure you just change it every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks, because if you drive to your school every day, you probably don't even notice what's going on the road if there's no changes. But the minute a building is knocked down or someone goes out of business or something significant happens, a change, then you notice it. And the same thing will happen in your school with the traffic in your school. If the display doesn't change, people will walk by it every day and not even notice it's there. But even if you just take what's on the top and move it to the bottom and move the bottom down to the top and do the same thing side to side so it looks different, all of a sudden people will look at it and try to figure out what changed, but notice the items in the process, okay? There's a lot of things we can talk about when it comes to the display. I could do a whole nother hour on that. But anyway, I want to get to some of these other things for you. Upselling. Make sure that you have a fixed list of things that are to be upsold. So in other words, if someone buys a pair of hand wraps, I upsell them a pair of boxing gloves, or vice versa. If someone buys boxing gloves, I upsell them hand wraps. If someone buys a T-shirt, I upsell the next T-shirt at 10% off. Get two at this price rather than just get one. And then once I make that definitive list, I train my staff on it so that no matter who's writing the order, I can guarantee that everyone is going to get upsold the exact same way. So if one of my staff takes the order and it's not me, I know that if someone buys a pair of boxing gloves, they're going to get upsold a pair of hand wraps. You can do this with pants. Just all you have to do is make a list of everything you're selling, make a second list of complimentary items of what would be good upsell items, and then just cover that with your staff. Cover it repeatedly because they will forget, and you just need to train them, and eventually they'll have it memorized, and you won't have to worry about it. So a lot of what I like to preach when it comes to merchandise is building systems in to make things happen so you don't have to worry about it so much. So you don't have to worry about stock sitting around and not getting sold. Okay, so let's talk about the monthly special. I always like to pick an item that's the monthly special, whether it's a T-shirt or even a comma, if that's what we're using in our rotating curriculum. And basically, I need to do a lot to tell people about the monthly special because, like I said, they need to hear about it 6 times. So I'm going to train my staff on it. I'm going to tell them that they need to tell everybody that commas are on special this month. Then I'm going to put something in my newsletter. I'm going to post the signs around the locker rooms, the restrooms, in hallways where there's a lot of traffic, and I'm going to make class announcements about it. You know, I push people to make class announcements every time about some product and whatnot. Because the truth of the matter is if you don't ask for the order, you won't get it, and people need to hear about it multiple times. You keep hearing me say that because it's true, and you need to show them the monthly special over and over and over again. And I like to make what I call no-brainer signs. So like a no-brainer sign would sit on your countertop, and it says, you know, do your boxing gloves smell? I mean, everybody's boxing gloves smell, so if I'm going to push, you know, boxing glove deodorizer or even upsell a new pair of gloves because that's what my monthly special is, then my no-brainer sign says, do your gloves smell? This is a perfect time to get them. They're on sale for X, Y, and Z, okay? Holiday sales, most people do them. Master Clark taught me a long time ago you need to have 2 holiday sales. The first one goes on maybe at the beginning of December so that people can buy gift items. And the second one goes on after the new year, the first or second week back, because people have received cash and money for gifts during the holidays, and they want to spend it on something. So you might as well give them an opportunity. It's an opportunity to move any holiday sale items you didn't sell at the beginning of the month in December, and it's a good chance for them to spend some more money with you. I'm going to run through some other things real quickly now, and then we'll take questions. But gift certificates are an invitation to spend money with you. So you should give them out very liberally. When I say liberally, I mean all the time. I mean hand them out at belt tests, hand them out for birthdays, hand them out if they're the 10th person to walk through the door that day and they get the 10th person through the door gift certificate. Basically, a gift certificate should be $5 or $10. They should say on them that they are not, cannot be used with another promotion, so you don't have someone who's garnering, you know, adding up 5 gift certificates to spend, get something for free. It doesn't work that way, but we all know that if anyone spends, you know, redeems a gift certificate, they will spend more. They will spend more because you spent the time to train your staff on what to upsell. So when they go to redeem their gift certificate and buy a pair of boxing gloves, your staff is going to upsell them a pair of hand wraps. Okay. So another thing that a school owner taught me once a long time ago was they took little stickers and they put them on the drinks that were in the drink machine. And on the stickers, you know, every fifth drink would have a sticker, and it was like, you know, a free keychain at the pro shop, or $5 off the next thing they buy at the pro shop. So people would buy drinks and hope that there was a winning sticker on the drink at the top or the bottom of the bottle, somewhere they couldn't see until it came out, and then they could redeem that at the pro shop. I thought it was a great idea. Used equipment sale. Simply put, you must do a used equipment sale, and I'll tell you why. A used equipment sale gives you an opportunity to unload all of your used equipment so that you can have good equipment at your school whenever a new student gets a tour through, and also for safety. Things that work well for used equipment sales are heavy bags, freestanding heavy bags, shields, focus mitts, targets, things that are used in the school. The used equipment sale works for a couple of reasons. One is everyone thinks they're going to train at home. Okay, no one is ever going to train at home, but everyone thinks they're going to train at home or going to practice at home. So this gives them an opportunity to buy something which may be a more expensive item at a significantly discounted price, so they could train at home, and you can market your used equipment sale like that. You know, train at home, get your shield at our used equipment sale. And I have some more, I have more details about how to run a used equipment sale. If you want, you can email me. I'll tell you that. But also, everyone at every karate school or every martial arts school I've ever seen, and I can say this for myself because I personally train, is that everyone will run over to the mitts when it's time to do mitt work because everyone's looking for the good pair of mitts. And the truth is that it should never be that way. Every pair of mitts should be the good pair of mitts. And if you run a used equipment sale every 8 months, you unload all the old mitts, and you have the money to bring in new mitts, and therefore you never have to worry about the students fighting over, well, they don't fight, but you know they rush over to get the good mitts, and you shouldn't have to worry about that either. And it's just safer for your students to be using new equipment. So clearly, I think there's a lot of benefits to doing it, and the key is don't let the product get so old and so beat up that you can't sell it. You're going to want to sell it at your cost plus 10%, and that's going to cover your cost of replacing the equipment and getting new stuff in. So if you wait too long and it gets too beat up, then you can't get any money for it. Or you can still get money for it. I've been amazed by what I've seen people sell, but you can certainly get more money for it. I recommend every 6 months or 8 months, you know, depending on how much abuse your equipment goes through. If you run a ton of aerobic kickboxing classes and your heavy bags get beat to shreds, you know, maybe you need to sell them sooner. But if you only run a couple classes a day on heavy bags, then they might be able to go 11 months or a year, and you can still sell them for top dollar. Okay? That being said, the last thing I want to say is that when it comes to your display, excuse me, make sure you use the space wisely. So put your best-selling items right at eye level. Don't stick your best-selling item up in the corners. Use the corners and the outside for things like packages that they're going to buy later, so you can point to them during your tour, but they don't take up main space. Make sure that you fill your display. If you're selling hand wraps and you have a basket of hand wraps, nobody likes to buy the last pair of hand wraps. Nobody likes to take the last bread roll out of the basket when you're eating a meal. And the same thing goes for your display. If you fill it, you keep it plentiful, you love, people will buy multiple units because it's easier just to take one, two, or five. But if there's down to three items, they won't want to buy those last two or the last one. They don't want to be the last one to take it. So they'll only buy exactly what they need or just buy one item. You lose a lot of impulse buys. Okay, and make sure it's well lit. And please, please, please make sure you clean your display. Even if you don't make changes to the display, please make sure it's dusted. When you build, you know, every day you probably, you clean your mats or your floors, and every day at the end of classes there's a lot of things to do. Just add it to the list of the people who are cleaning that you just want the display dusted off, because anytime you have any display that has a dust, has a little dust or anything, or looks like it hasn't been moved or touched, you know, since the dawn of man, it's going to affect your sales of whatever you're selling. Okay. So that being said, it's about 10:50. So, you know, I'll gladly take questions that anyone has.
Okay.
Or I keep going. So, Kathy, I'll leave that up to you.
Well, why don't we take questions? Because you're giving so much good information. I know we've got some whales spinning out there, and I know we don't have a lot of time. So why don't we take web questions first?
Okay.
And let's see. It says, how much product do you feel you must maintain on hand in order to drive sales? Or do you just maintain one of each?
Okay. It's a good question. And what I do is basically, if I know that I've built certain products into the program, so if it's sparring gear, for example, you have to start keeping some record of what you're selling. Even if you're doing it by hand and you're having your staff just record what they sold, you need to know what they sold and what size and what color or whatever it is. And once I know that, let's say I know that over 3 months I've sold X, you know, this size, I've sold two of these, one of this, and whatever, then I just create what I call my target inventory. So what I do is I build or I buy my first target inventory of exactly what I want to have on hand. And I'd look at that based on results from before. And if you don't have that too, we can certainly help you come up. We make suggestions based on sizes because it can be tricky sometimes with sizes. But if it's something like sparring gear, I pick exactly how many I want to stock. I buy that stock. And then every 2 weeks or something, I replace my order. And all I do is I go back and I count what I have, and I compare that with my target inventory. And then I just reorder to fill the holes. I'm generally not running out. I'm just filling holes. And if I do run out, it just means that we signed up an unusual amount of people in that size, which is totally fine. But if you start to run out 1 month or the next month, you realize, okay, my target inventory for that size or color needs to increase. So just look at your sales results. Create a target amount that you want to keep. That's not too much. Just enough that will last you like 2 weeks. And then every 2 weeks you can call to reorder. Hopefully that answers your question, but if not, you can always ask me offline for more.
Okay, that sounds good. Let me go ahead and open up the phone lines, too, so if any of our guests on the phone have questions, they can ask.
Okay.
Hi, does anybody on the phone have a question for Paul?
Let me ask this question. I'm curious to know what people feel is their biggest obstacle to selling more merchandise. Is it lack of knowledge or money, or I don't have the money, or I have a fear that the product will sit around and it won't sell. For those of you online, don't be shy, but I'd like to hear from you.
I think there's some people that run like part-time schools.
Yep.
They maybe don't have the a couple objections I've heard is, I don't really have enough wall space,
okay,
or I really don't feel like I have enough capital to bring in the merchandise. I'd rather just try to take orders out of a catalog because it's just easier for me.
Okay. Those feelings are pretty common. I find that when I see a school pictures, digital images of the school, I find that they have a lot more wall space than they're giving themselves credit for. They're usually surprised when I say, well, you know, what about this wall? What's that one doing? And they say, oh, I'm not doing anything with it. And we realize there's a lot of space and a lot of opportunity to do that. So that's something that I would just suggest that they let us know. For part-timers who just want to write orders, I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's very I think it's cost effective. I do think that when it comes to shirts or other things like that, that can be a little bit more impulse buy, they will sell more product if they have it there than if they write an order for it. There's absolutely no question about it. I've seen it time and time and again. People like immediate gratification. So you will sell some by writing orders. I can't say anything negative about it. I think that if you have the product there, you'll sell more. But if you think you can sell 36, then order 24. I mean, I do think that they should underbuy. A school should always underbuy to create a sense of urgency and whatnot. And also, no matter what the garment is, let's say it's a garment, if it's a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, or something like that, then the instructors need to wear it. You need to outfit your instructors. The small investment in outfitting your instructors will pay for itself three times over, because every student wants to look like their instructor. So it's really important that the instructors be required to wear that garment in and out of the facility that month, if that's what I'm featuring. Even if they can't train in it, they need to wear it when they come and go so that the students see them in that. If they can be wearing the item while they train or teach, well, that's even better, but sometimes I understand that's not possible. But frankly, if the instructors are wearing it, the students will buy it. So I didn't really cover that, but I think it's important everyone know that.
No, that's a really good point. Another one of our web listeners contributed. They didn't put their name, so I can't give them credit, but they said another reason would be cash flow and the product sits too long, and this is an issue based on carrying different sizes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think that it's easy to get caught up in the fact that I need to have every size. And sometimes, and, you know, we have the same issue here, too. I mean, I have a whole warehouse full of product. And, you know, frankly, when we run a promotion, I have double X left over, and I have small left over. And it's my job, basically, here to get better, do a better job of buying so that we don't have those things left over. But it's easy to get caught up in, I got to be all things to all people. And when it comes to merchandise or even anything in your business, it's impossible to be all things to all people. And therefore, sometimes I wouldn't buy a certain size. I wouldn't buy some sizes that I know are going to be slow movers or they're going to be hard. Use your vendors for advice. You know, we have an unlimited amount of knowledge about this. So we can help you determine what to buy so you don't get stuck with things left over. But so don't be afraid to ask. But generally, this is where I encourage people to underbuy. And in some cases, I wouldn't even buy a size. Because if I felt like I was going to buy two units, but I had to buy six just to sell those two, and then I was worried about having those four left over, I wouldn't buy it. I'm not worried about those two students this time. I can find other ways to get creative about finding something for them in the future. Or I can pre-sell those sizes so that I can just try to pre-sell enough so that when I do my T-shirt run, I don't have those left over. If it comes to sparring gear and things like that, you can do something so, you know, make sure you can return it. I mean, we sell blank sparring gear here or there, so schools can go ahead and return it. I know a lot of schools feel strongly about private labeling their gear. I don't think that's as important as it is having your logo on things that people are wearing outside the gym. When they're inside the school and they're training on my floor, you know, I have control over that. I know what they're going to buy. I can control the content, and I can encourage them what to buy. And so it doesn't matter to me that it says my logo on it once it's inside the school. But when people are walking around outside, then I definitely want them wearing our logo, because for obvious reasons. So I don't know if that answers the question exactly, but in some cases you need to invest in some inventory to move it. And if it's a regular item that you're selling regularly, well, just determine what your target inventory should be, and then you're just filling holes, and make sure you can return it. If it's a screen-printed T-shirt, some sizes just don't order them. Engage demand, because you may lose, like you may feel like you'll lose four units, but it's not a big deal in the grand scheme if you sold 72 units elsewhere. I mean, my sales team here in this office will tell me, so-and-so wanted this item, and I'll say, okay, are you getting a lot of requests? And they'll say, yes. And I go, well, how many have you had? And they say, well, I had one or two clients ask. Well, that's not a lot of requests to me. But I don't go running out trying to get an item because I heard one or two requests. When I hear 10 requests, 15, then I start to think, okay, this is something we need to have. So gauge your demand that way too. And here's another thing I want to say, because I'm really long-winded, is that make sure that you buy items that your students want, not what you want. And too many times we make buying decisions based on what you or me or I would personally like, but it doesn't have anything to do with what my students will like. So it's easy to ask a lot of questions of your instructors and your students of what kind of things they're looking for, what kind of item would they like to have, because once you do that, if you do that homework, then you don't have to worry about it. The product you get will sell. It's less of a function of a big commitment. Am I buying something that won't sell? Well, you don't have to worry about it. It's something that you've already got some feedback that will sell.
Okay. I know we're right on time here, but we do have two more questions I'd love to sneak in, if that's okay.
I mean, it's fine with me. Let's do it.
Okay. Dale wants to know, what is the rule of thumb for markup or slash profit?
Okay.
He's got an exclamation point there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I recommend everyone try to Keystone. Keystone means if I buy it for 20, I sell it for 40. Now, I understand that in some items, it's just not possible. If you're going to buy a heavy bag or a freestanding heavy bag, sometimes it's just not possible. I know here, based on the cost of some of those products coming out of the factory, there's no way that we can price it to everybody that they could still make that margin. But that should be your goal. On things like T-shirts, you can get more than Keystone. I mean, if you buy $6, sometimes you can pay $6 or $8 for a T-shirt, they can sell for $20. Long sleeves, $25. Higher-end T-shirts, $30. Sweatshirts can sell for $40, basically, or $50. It just depends, but I definitely think that you should plan to Keystone the item, and that should be your goal. And if it's possible, great. If it's not, you can accept a little less. That's okay. You're still making money on it. I don't think you should do it for 10% or 20%. You know, sometimes it can be not worth your time. But definitely try to get the most. Okay?
Okay. And then the last question we have right now on the web is, do you have a resource for display shelves and racks, you know, that you can put apparel, weapons, sparring gear on?
Yeah, we sell it.
Oh, okay.
So you can go to revgear.com. Yeah, you can go to revgear.com, and we sell it. You'll see, I think on the left-hand column, there's a category called gym owners or school owners, and we have an area for pro shop display. So you can get it from us, of course. And we can also help you set it up, and we can help you determine how much to buy so you don't buy too much of the wrong thing based on what you're going to display and whatnot. So that's one of the things that makes us different is we spend a lot of time with customers on helping them grow their business and helping them sell more merchandise. It doesn't do us any good to sell them something that they can't sell themselves. So we'll spend some time with you on that, and you know, you might be able to see some tips on that at ProShopMentor.com. But I know we have those display stuff at RevGear.com.
Awesome. Could you give your contact information out one more time? Because I know that some people may come up with questions a little bit later today as they're thinking through all this information that you gave us.
Great. Okay. My email address is paulr@revgear.com. Once again, it's paulr@revgear.com, spelled R-E-V, like Victor, G-E-A-R. And our phone number here is 800-767-8288. Once again, it's 800-767-8288. So don't be shy. Some people don't buy from us, and that's, I understand, we don't sell to everybody. But don't be shy about calling to ask for advice, because we give out advice. And you can tell
that
I have a lot to say,
good.
So I shoot off my mouth.
Yeah, you know, actually I was just thinking, you know, I'd love to invite you back right now, maybe in November, because I think we have a lot of clients that would like to maybe double their holiday retail sales this year. So
okay. If
you're willing, we'd love to have you maybe do something straight on holiday sales and how to have some killer sales this year.
Okay, well, let's do it. But we should probably plan a little earlier than November. November's too late.
Okay.
So
okay.
We should be doing it in October so that they could be ordering in November to get stuff here in December. First week, but
all right.
In November. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So
thank you.
Thank you for everybody for signing in and listening in.
Thank you so much for taking your time. We really appreciate it. And that was definitely information packed.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.